But best of all, he is my coming King. Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do.
Thank you so much. Let's take our Bibles, please, and go to the Psalms, Psalm 107. Well, I enjoyed that special song. That's good. Praise the Lord. I've had a good time here. Music here, Blessed Baptist Church, I so appreciate it. I mean it. Congregational singing, folks, you do a great job. Special music, the choirs, just excellent, excellent, excellent. Let's keep up the good work. Just good God-honoring, old-fashioned, traditional gospel songs and hymns just that feed the Spirit. And boy, I tell you what, that prepares the heart for preaching. It sure does. Romans chapter number 10. I'm sorry, I got you in the wrong place. Psalms 107. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Read the first two verses of Psalms 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless us, Lord, as we preach the message this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the good group of folks that have gathered here today at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And Lord, they've come because they want to hear from heaven. Lord, they come because they need to hear from your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would do a work in this place. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Direct my thinking in the next few minutes. Lord, help me to deliver that which you would want delivered, Lord. And we're just grateful to be here. Our hearts are already so full and blessed. It's great to have visitors. It's good to just see the folks. It's wonderful to hear the singing. It's great to shake hands and just share a good word about the Lord. And Lord Jesus, we are thankful for what you do in this place week by week. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't take these things for granted. Speak to our hearts now through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to take some Sunday mornings, and I think I'm going to begin to preach a series of messages on Sunday mornings. Now, you'll have to forgive me if from time to time I kind of decide to exit and preach something maybe in particular on a Sunday morning, but I'm going to, over the course of the next couple months, try to fit in, as the Lord leads and allows, a series of messages. And this entire series I'm going to call this, I'm Saved, Now What? I'm Saved, Now What? And that is the series and what we're going to preach on. I think it's good from time to time, folks, for us to go back to the basics, okay? And I want to preach this series for a couple of reasons. I want to, first of all, just say, praise the Lord. You know what? There's a lot of folks that's getting saved at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I mean, there's folks all over this congregation that just really, within the last few weeks or months, has received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And you know what? New converts need instruction. New converts need encouragement. New converts are hungry, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. And it's important that we make sure that we give them that sincere milk of the word, that the basics of the Bible and the Christian life, and it's good for them. It'll be new to them. A lot of the things will be new to them. But you know what? Not only is it good for the new converts, it's good for the old veterans. It really is. You know, I think that I never get tired of hearing about the gospel. I don't ever even get tired of hearing the basic doctrines of the Word of God. They're good for me. You see, we have a foundation. They provide a foundation for us. And I think from time to time to go back and hit some reset buttons in our life and not to forget some things and not to get away from some things that should be foundational to every single born-again believer. And so I'm going to preach a series entitled, I'm Saved, Now What? Now What? And then the first message is going to be very simply entitled, Tell It. Tell It. I'm saved, now what? I'll tell you now what. Tell it. Tell it. Or you might be able to write down this as the title, The Importance of Publicly Professing Jesus Christ. The Importance of Publicly Professing Jesus Christ. Now, let me share something with you, new Christians. Jesus Christ has done a tremendous work in your life. I mean, to be saved is such a wonderful thing. And it's like a brand new beginning, a new life, a new starting point. I mean, you have discovered something that, whether or not they realize it or not, the rest of the world is searching for the very thing that you found. And what you've got is kind of like you came across the cure for cancer, or you came across an endless supply of riches that you couldn't exhaust, and all that you could take, there'd still be that much more left. Or maybe you found the fountain of youth, and listen, if you found any of those things and you kept it all to yourself, my goodness sakes, what kind of a person would you be? You imagine somebody finding the cure for cancer and getting themselves cured, and then with all the people in the world that are fighting cancer right now, to keep that secret to themselves? Can you imagine somebody finding the fountain of youth and keeping it all themselves, and watching folks in a nursing home pass away, and all they'd have to do is bring them that water and they'd have a chance for a new youth? Well, listen, folks, none of those two things exist as far as right now, and I don't imagine that fountain of youth thing you're ever going to find, you know. And there's been a few people spend their life looking for it and didn't find it. You know why? Because they ran out of time. They died of old age. Yeah, they died of old age. But let me tell you something. When you find the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, when you find the saving grace of Jesus Christ, when you come to that point where you understand the gospel and receive the gospel and turn from your sins and turn to Jesus Christ, and you're a born-again Christian, you found something better than any of the things that I've described this morning. And we ought to tell it. We ought to tell it. I love this verse. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Well, if you've been saved, you've got to agree with that. We ought to be thankful. And you know what? God has been good. For his mercy endureth forever. Well, if you've gotten saved, you've got to agree with that. I mean, folks, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, none of us in this room would be saved. But then it goes on after that in verse number 2 and says this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, what's that saying? That's saying very simply, if you're saved, if you've been redeemed, then you ought to tell it. You ought to tell people about it. You ought to say it. You know, we'll say most things that we're proud of, most things that we are, we're not afraid to share with people. I mean, I don't think anybody here doesn't know that that my dear brother-in-law, Chuck, is a Duke fan. I don't think anybody has any doubt about that, you know. And he's very verbal about that, and sometimes rather obnoxious about that. And but he's not ashamed of that, you know. And you know what? If you are, then you ought to say it. And if you're, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Well, there is something wrong with it, but we won't go into that. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so, you know. And hey, if you're a Southerner, well, we'll pray for you, all right, we will. And there's people that have that affliction also in this congregation. Now, they've been brought to the Promised Land, the Holy Land, and we're working with them. But up to this point, they're still saying so, that they're a Southerner, you know. And there's other mental problems that I could bring up here that I'm not going to bring up this morning. But sorry about that. I hope none of our visitors are Southerners. I've just lost maybe some of you. And I'll get right back into the Bible. Amen. Here we go. And but what I'm saying is this. Hey, if you're a Christian, then why not tell people you're a Christian? If you've been saved, then why not tell people? The Bible gives us a command. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, that what that means, well, you don't understand, Brother Jerry. I believe in lifestyle evangelism. And so I don't say anything about my Christianity. I just live it in front of people. Well, that's not what the Bible says. And say here, let the redeemed of the Lord live it. It says, I think you ought to, but it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, God's given us a voice. God's given us vocal cords. God's given us a language that we can relay our salvation experience, and we ought to be busy spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and telling people, hey, I am saved. Let me tell you something. I'm saved. I've been saved. You know, it's exciting when I get the reports back of seeing some of our new converts. And I was talking to Brian about this the other day, and he came into the office kind of wide-eyed. And he said, "Brother Jerry, I got to talk to you." And he got this new job over there. Man, as soon as he started working in there, he started telling everybody, "Let me tell you something, man. I used to be this, and I used to be that, and I used to be this. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm a Christian now." And they, you believe this? Some gal got all after him and told him, "Stop Bible thumping me." Stop Bible thumping me. Now the world makes little comments like that. All of a sudden we start backing up and thinking, well, maybe we're offending people and maybe we shouldn't say anything about it. And maybe that's right. And let me tell you something. You can take, that's a bunch of hogwash is what it is. The Bible clearly commands us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And listen, let me tell you something. You need to tell people about Jesus even sometimes when they don't want to hear about Jesus. I'm not talking about being rude. I'm not talking about being obnoxious. What I am talking about is stop being ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak up. Speak up with your faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, then tell folks that you're a Christian. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, that's part of the first things that you ought to learn after you get saved is, hey, are you saved? Are you saved? Then you ought to tell folks. Now, let me just answer some very simple questions in this message. Number one, what is a public profession? I want to deal with that just specifically for a minute, but I think that a public profession is not a one-time thing that's just done in a local church. But I do think it's important that you do that. You know, when we deal with folks here at the altar and folks come forward and get saved, well, you know what? One of the things we ask them before we send them back to their seat is, hey, listen, would you mind if I let the people know? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think I've ever had anybody tell me, no, don't tell them. Shh, don't tell them. I don't want them to know I just got saved. Have them bow their heads so I can sneak back to my seat, you know? I mean, somebody genuinely gets saved, you know what? They got a big smile on their face. Yeah, I want people to know. And I think that that's important. If you were saved here at the altar, we usually keep you up here and we read your name and tell the folks that you got saved. And by the way, at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, all the people are going to say a great big amen. I mean, it's exciting when somebody gets saved here. We're glad when people get saved here, you know. It's a wonderful thing. You say, why are folks so excited about me getting saved? Because I don't think there's anybody that ever gets saved here where every one of us in this room are not reliving the day when Jesus Christ saved us. And we're just as excited for you as we were when we got saved. I mean, it's just wonderful to see somebody born into the family of God. Man, that charges us up around here. And it ought to charge us up around here. The Bible says there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that comes to repentance. It'd be a shame if what excites heaven doesn't excite the church. I mean, that'd be a shame, you see. So a public profession, in as far as after salvation, I encourage you to do that. If you get saved here at the church, we're going to do that automatically unless you want to sneak back to your pew, and I've never had that happen. If you get saved away from the church, maybe you get saved on visitation, or you're saved in your home, some soul winner comes by and leads you to Christ. Let me tell you, at the first opportunity when you attend church, you ought to come forward in an invitation. You ought to stand up and say, "Preacher, I want to make a public profession of my faith in Jesus Christ. I don't want to hide it. I'm not trying to be sneaky about it. I'm not trying to, listen, I don't want to take my candle, put it under a bushel. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I want to tell folks that I'm saved." You ought to do that. If you haven't done that, you can do it this morning. Just come forward and say, "Brother, maybe you're here and you're not saved. Hey, get saved, and we'll let folks know you got saved." If you have been saved and you've never made a public profession, I think it's important. Let me just give you this. Hey, Brother Jerry, why is that so important? Let me help you with something. Let me tell you something. If you can't publicly profess Christ here at the church in front of all these saved folks, that's 100% for you, how in the world are you going to go out there in the world and publicly profess Christ in front of lost people is going to be against you a lot of times. And so I think it's important that we publicly profess in front of a church congregation the fact that we've received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So that is what a public profession is. What is a public profession? Public profession is when somebody who's saved comes forward in the church and lets the congregation know, "I am a born-again Christian." Here's the second question. Say, "I don't know about this, Brother Jerry." Well, here's question number two. Are you ashamed of your salvation? Are you ashamed of your salvation? Romans chapter number 10. Let's go there. Let's go over to the book of Romans just a minute. We're going to look at some Bible verses. Romans chapter 10. Are you ashamed of your salvation? Romans chapter 10. And let's begin reading a very familiar verse number 9. By the way, these scriptures contain great, great secrets, great knowledge, great information concerning what it takes to be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be what? Shall not be ashamed. Good night. Are you ashamed of your salvation? You know what? When I get done leading somebody to the Lord, I oftentimes, while I'm right there in Romans chapter 10, I a lot of times look them in the eye and say, let me ask you something. After they've been saved, after they've prayed, a lot of times, I'll say, are you ashamed of your salvation? And I'll get the most shocked look on them. Well, of course not. I'll say, you know what? I thought you were going to answer that. And then I go ahead and show them that right there, verse number 11. By the way, that helps me then to go in and present public profession, their need to public profess Christ. That also allows me then to introduce the idea of being publicly baptized, which we'll deal with some other week. But folks, listen to me. If you're saved, you're not supposed to be ashamed of that. Let's go to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. And Paul sets for us a great example. Boy, I like the Apostle Paul. Good night. This is a guy that, man, when he got saved, he did 180 degree. He just went on for God. I'm not saying he didn't struggle. I'm not saying he didn't have to learn. I mean, we know that all Christians go through that to a certain extent. But Romans chapter 1, verse number 14, let me begin there. Romans 1, 14 says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. Now, what he was saying there is very simply this. He said, listen, the minute I got saved, I owe a debt to every lost person out there. And that debt is this. I owe them the gospel. Did you get that? He said, when I got saved, I became debtor to every lost person out there. And here's the debt that I owe them. Here's what I owe them, the gospel. And every time I talk to somebody about that gospel, I pay that debt for that person. And he said, you know what? I'm going to pay my debts. I think Paul tried to be honest. I think he said, Lord, if you open the door or you cross, help me cross paths with people that are lost, I'm going to pay my debt. Somebody did that for me, or I wouldn't be saved. So I want to pay that debt. I want to pay that debt back. And then he says, not only is he debtor, but he says, so as much as it is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome. This is a nice little three-point outline. I should have saved this and preached it sometime, amen? But number one, I'm debtor. Number two, I'm ready. Now listen, folks, when you come to the realization that I owe everybody the gospel, and you understand that you need to pay that debt, if you're going to be an honest person, you need to pay that debt, and that debt is you owe every lost person the gospel. If you're saved, then you owe every lost person the gospel. Then you realize that, and that really sinks in. Then you get to think, well, man, I better get ready. I mean, I better get some tracts and keep them in my pocket. I mean, I better carry my New Testament with me. I better be ready to share my testimony with somebody. I mean, I got to be looking for opportunity. God gives me an opportunity, and I can pay that debt, and I'm not ready to do it. Then you know what? I'm going to miss out on that opportunity. So Paul said, listen, I'm not only a debtor, I'm ready to pay that debt. I'm ready to preach the gospel. Then I love this verse 16, and I think this is where we grow. We've got to realize, first of all, that we owe a debt. And I think every Christian's got to kind of go through this process. All of a sudden, you realize one day, you mean, you accidentally stumble into an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church that won't let, and you'll get under the preach of an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist preacher that won't let you sit there and feel comfortable by being a secret disciple and a secret Christian and not going soul winning and not passing out tracts and not sharing. Listen, your family members are unsaved and you're not sharing the gospel with them. Next-door neighbors are unsaved, you're not sharing the gospel with them. Co-workers are unsaved, you're not sharing the gospel with them, and some preacher has the audacity to get up here and say, shame on you. You owe a debt. You need to get ready to pay that debt. And then here's the key, because I think this is where it helps you to be able to step forward and actually do it. In verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul said, what do I got to be ashamed of? Well, Brother Jerry, I'm afraid it caused me some embarrassment. What do you have to be embarrassed about? Amen. Well, people might not look at me favorably. What do you got to be ashamed of? You a Christian? Good night. You a son of God, a child of God? You born again Christian? Good night. What do you got to be ashamed of? And you got good news. I'm not ashamed of the good news. That's what that means. The good news of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So, what is a public profession? Well, I think that that's coming into the up in front of the church. I think every born-again Christian ought to do that. Let the congregation know, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I want to publicly profess Christ. Then we have to come to this conclusion. Are you ashamed of your salvation? Well, no, Brother Jared. Well, if you're not ashamed of your salvation, then a public profession of Jesus Christ, watch this, does not stop after that first time in front of the church. You publicly profess Christ Every opportunity from that point on that you get, talk to people, whether it's one-on-one, talk to people, whether it's in a group, talk to people whenever you can. I mean, when you write a letter, stick a gospel track in it. You pay a bill, stick a gospel track in it. I mean, when you get a chance to pay for your gas, maybe you're in a hurry and you don't have time, or they don't have time, give them a gospel track. Listen, give your testimony when you have the opportunity. You're at the lunch table, you're with your co-workers, the subject comes up, or maybe you can just bring the subject up, amen, and share your testimony of how you came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Brother Jerry, that'll turn people off. That is the biggest lie that the devil will ever tell you. There's people all over this room that will tell you, you know what, Brother Jerry, I didn't get saved the first time somebody told me about it. It was this witness and that witness, and this person said this, and this person gave me a track here. Brother Hal Hall, I've got him working on a project right now, and he's typing up his testimony. And we're going to have several of you do this, and many of you that want to do this, members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we're going to put it on our Operation Think Event page. And any veteran that would type up your salvation testimony, we're going to put it on the Operation Think Event page, so other veterans that visit that site will see, hey, these are military guys. Look, they're not ashamed of Jesus, and this is how they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. But Brother Howe, we were talking about his testimony back here, and he starts going way back to the first time that he was introduced to the gospel, and somebody just made a comment here, and a group of students just stopped, Bible students, and just stopped and gave him a good word here about the Lord, and then another person witnessed to him here. Listen, you say, oh, Brother Jerry, I tried that a few times and nobody got saved. I tried that a few times and it just seemed like that they almost got mad or upset. Listen, what's showing on the face doesn't always mean the same thing as what's happening in the heart. And maybe they do get a little aggravated, a little mad, but you know what? They'll also go home and they'll sit down and they'll have to turn the lights off at night, and they're laying in bed with their eyes open, and they know down deep that they're not happy, and they know down deep there is something missing, and they know all of a sudden your witness starts coming back and the Holy Spirit's got something to use. And they may take that track and they may walk in and throw it on the coffee table, and it may get buried underneath some magazine. But at some point, I just think God's powerful enough and wise enough and in control enough that about the time that guy does have an open heart and he's clearing some stuff off, he finds that thing and starts reading it. And there's men in this room and ladies in this room that were brought towards their decision for Christ, or maybe even made that decision for Jesus Christ by the reading of a gospel tract. Man, get the word out! Get the word out! Oh, they got mad. Get the word out anyway. They didn't seem like they cared. Tell them anyway. I mean, folks, listen, we were commanded to plant the seed and water the seed. Let's just get out there and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, I'm not ashamed. What is a public profession? Are you ashamed of your salvation? Here's the third question. Do some, Brother Jerry, do some keep it a secret? Do some Christians keep it a secret? Well, let's go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. The honest answer to that question, and it's a Bible answer, is yes. I'm sorry to say yes. Yes, some people are genuinely saved. They're genuinely converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet they become what the Bible calls a secret disciple. Secret disciple. John chapter 19, verse number 38 says this, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus." Now, here's an example of a man that for at least some time in his Christian life was a secret disciple. I like listening to Dad's testimony when he talks about when he got saved at Rock Run Baptist Church. He was so excited. He went back to Anaconda Aluminum Company where he was working, and he started sharing the fact that he got saved, and he said all of a sudden Christians started coming out of the woodwork. And the minute he told this guy, hey, I want to share something with you that happened to me. Hey, I went to this revival at this little Baptist church outside of Brazil, Indiana, and I received Jesus as my Savior. And they said, you're saved? Yeah. Well, I'm saved too. And you know, after about the third or fourth person tells you that, you start thinking, well, wait a minute. If all you buzzards were saved all this time, and I was lost and on my way to hell, why didn't somebody speak up before now? It's a little bothersome after a while. You know, once you bring it up, once you start telling, once you get saved, you know, then all of a sudden everybody, oh yeah, well, me too. You know, well, wait a minute. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. They were secret disciples. You see, some folks are saved and they just don't want to bring it up. They don't want to embarrass themselves. Or they think it's an embarrassment to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? If we could get in a time machine and set all the knobs and go back to Sodom and Gomorrah and visit the people that lived on the same street as Brother Lot. By the way, it was Brother Lot. You know, the Bible says that he lived in Sodom, and he even said that it vexed his righteous soul. Bothered him, the sin bothered him, but you know what? It didn't bother him enough to say anything. It didn't bother him enough to witness. Here he was a true believer, but he had no Christian testimony. So how do you know that? He didn't even have Christian testimony of his own family. His own son-in-laws, he couldn't convince at the last minute that he was real enough and what he was saying was real enough. You know why? Because just easier to blend in. Watch this, young people. Watch it. Okay, you come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Did you receive Jesus as your Savior? Well, listen, when you trot yourself tomorrow into the public school, you sit down at lunch and you look to the left and look to the right, and everybody's kind of watching each other, so you just start eating and you don't bow your head and pray. What's wrong? Why are you doing that? Ashamed of something? Ashamed of Jesus? Okay, teenagers, you go out there, maybe you're working a job and you get a half hour for lunch, so you run over to Wendy's and you order a hamburger and you sit there and there's a lot of people in there and you just kind of, so you don't bow your head. Wait a minute, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? We got to be a little careful there, don't we, you see? Do some people keep it a secret? Yeah, some people keep it a secret. They sure do. But I think if you just continue to pray for folks and encourage folks. By the way, let me just say this. For some people, it's just harder than others. I mean, some people are introverted. Some people, their very personality, it makes it harder. I'm just telling you the truth. Some folks get saved, and you know what? They've always had an outgoing personality. They've always been pretty vibrant. And man, they've always been outspoken about anything else and everything else their whole life. So it's just natural to be outspoken about this. Some people are a little shyer by nature. But can I say this to you? Even if you are not by nature a bold person, you need to become bold for the Lord Jesus Christ. You need, and you can become bold for the Lord. Oh, Brother Jerry, you just don't know. Yes, I do know. Let me tell you something. It was hard for me when I first started going soul winning. It was hard for me when I first started witnessing. I was of that type of a personality. I mean, man alive, I used to take tracts when I got burdened about souls. I knew I didn't have enough boldness to speak to people, so I'd take tracts. And did you take tracts so you can give them to people? No, I wasn't that brave. I wasn't even that brave. You know, I'd go to a public restroom and then I'd, check under all the stalls to make sure there's nobody in here, you know. I'd look around, open the door and peek just, you know, and here and there. What are you doing? I'm trying to be a witness. Pull out a gospel tract and get ready to lay it on the sink. And man, if somebody would open that door, I'd go, and then start washing my hands, you know. Hey, how you doing, man? Hey, somebody must have dropped that. I don't know who that was. Some nutcase Christian, probably, man. Well, Brother Jerry, that's horrible. Maybe it was horrible, but I'm just telling you, you know, sometimes you just got to move by inches, you know. But you know what? The thing about it is, the Lord won't leave you alone about this. And pretty soon I'm leaving tracks in bathrooms and sometimes even out where people can watch me put them down. And then I get to that day in my life where I say, Lord, that's not enough. Because here's the thing, the Lord, he'll let you come by inches, but he's not going to leave you alone until you get there. And then all of a sudden I got to the point where I could hand tracts out to people. And you know what? Nobody killed me. Look, I'm here. Nobody killed me. I'm fine. And did everybody take it? No. But you know, did some people be mean? Yeah, but you know what? Good night. You know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm me. And so you just go on, you know. And people slam door in your face? Yes. But you know what? You just keep going. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because perfect love casteth out fear. You fall in love enough with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you fall in love enough with lost souls, and perfect love will cast that fear out. And pretty soon, your love will become stronger than your fear, and your concern for people will become more concerned about your tendencies to be maybe a little bit bashful, and you just begin to have such a burning burden for souls that pretty soon you'll speak and you'll surprise yourself. Now, folks, here's the thing. I don't care where you're at. I really don't care where you're at in that progression, but go ahead and take the next step and keep going for the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad God's patient with all of us? Amen. So I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm trying to encourage you. Do some keep it a secret? Yeah, they do. I remember the illustration. Remember Brother Dave Carney that was just here from BIMI a few weeks ago? I tell this illustration. I've told it just about everywhere because I just love it. I think it's one of the most amazing stories I've ever heard. But when Brother Dave, Sister Diane, went and took their original trip over to Russia to visit the mission field, and what do they call those trips? Survey trip over to visit Russia and seek the Lord's will concerning this matter of whether or not they were supposed to be there. They went to a man there that was a missionary, and he had an established church, and he was winning people to Christ, and they happened to go and visit that church on a Sunday when they were going to have baptism. I love this story. I love it, I love it, I love it. But they didn't have an indoor baptistry, and they didn't even understand what that was. But that day, after the service, they were going to have baptismal service. So what did they do? They took the 5 or 6, 7 converts that were ready to be baptized, and they had them. By the way, if you watch that little BIMI presentation that he gave, there was actually a picture of this happening. They, for whatever reason, would dress these new converts in white robes. And then they, the preacher, took his Bible, and at the end of the congregation, they began to sing a hymn, and he walked out the back door, and those converts followed right behind him, and the congregation followed behind them. They stepped out on the main street, and at the end of Main Street, on the other end of town, was a lake, and they walked right down Main Street, right down through the town. Folks were coming to the door. Folks were coming to the doors of their businesses. They were watching this happen. They walk all the way through town to the lake. And then that preacher goes down there. And Brother Dave said it was so cold. He said it was freezing. He said, I had kind of a little light jacket on. And he said, I'm freezing. I'm thinking, I cannot believe that they're going to be baptized out in that cold lake. But sure enough, that preacher just kept going right on out of that lake. They come down one at a time. He raised his hand. I baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptize them one at a time out there in that cold. And Brother Dave's watching this, and he said, I was beside the missionary's son, teenage boy. And he said to him, as he's watching this, he's watching them come out shivering, big smile on their face, but they're kind of, you know, like that, you know. And he said, I was trying to be funny. So I leaned over to this teenage boy who was the son of the missionary and said to him, you know what, you guys can do what you want to, but when I get to Russia, the first thing I'm going to do in my church is put in an indoor baptistry. You know, Dave, you know, he thought that was funny, you know. But what he didn't realize is that there was a Russian guy behind him that was a born-again Christian that understood English. And the man stood there for a second, and finally he tapped Dave Carney on the shoulder. And he said, indoor baptism, what's that? And so Brother Dave said, well, over in the States, he said, sometimes we put a baptistry inside and explain what we do and heat the water, and we baptize them right in the church. And the man got the most puzzled look on his face. And then he said this. He said, why do you want to hide it? Why do you want to hide it? Brother Dave said, I just got goosebumps all over my mouth. I thought to myself, good night. Now, Brother Jerry, are you against indoor baptistry? No way. I'm the one doing the baptizing. I'm not against indoor baptistry. You going to dress the converts up in white sheets and march them down to Jasonville? No, I don't think we are. But I do have a question, convert, new convert. I do have a question, veteran Christian. Why do you want to hide it? Why do you want to hide it, you see? Let's go to Mark chapter number 8, verse number 38. Mark chapter 8, verse number 38. We'll conclude the message, but listen very carefully to this last point because it's very important. What is a public profession? We answered that question. Are you ashamed of your salvation? You'll have to answer that question. Do some keep it a secret, Brother Jerry? Yes, I think that they do. I think that they do. I think God's patient with us, and I think God will bring us out of that if we'll let him. And we certainly ought to let him do that. And then let me answer this last question. Why should we tell others that we're saved? What's the big deal? Well, let me give you a couple reasons. Number one, Mark chapter number 8 and verse number 38. Mark chapter 8, verse number 38. Very powerful verse here. I hope you let it sink in. Mark 8:38 says this, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Man, I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but that's convicting to me. By the way, it doesn't say in that day that if you're truly saved, he's going to reject you. It doesn't say if you're saved, he's not going to let you into heaven. I just think when some Christians walk before the throne of grace at the judgment seat of Christ, for Christians, that Jesus is just going to look over to the Father and say, Father, I'm just going to tell you, this is one of our children, but I'm very ashamed of them. I'm very ashamed of them. You know, you say, well, you know what? That's not going to matter to me. I don't. You know what? It will matter to you. It will matter. I mean, when he starts pointing towards you with that nail-scarred hand, and you look around at all of the other saints that have bravely stood for the Lord, many of them even at the cost of their own life, and we're going to walk up there, and I think Americans and this generation of Americans is going to be some of the sorriest bunch. I'm just telling you, folks, we've been given so much, but we do so little. I mean, I'm talking as a whole. I'm talking about as a whole. I'm not talking just about blessed. I'm talking about as a whole. Good night. All the opportunities that we have, and yet we do so little. And I think Jesus that day is going to say, Father, this is one of our children. I mean, he did get saved. Is his name in the Lamb Books of Life? Yes, it is. What date? Yep. What time? Yep. He just decided that he was going to spend his life ducking and dodging and denying and making excuses and flying under the radar because he didn't want to bear the reproach of my name. He didn't want to bear the reproach of my name. I'm going to tell you something. That's going to be powerful on that day. It's going to be powerful on that day, you see. You say, Brother Jerry, are you going to have to answer for some of that? Yep. I'm going to have to answer to the Lord for times that I could have been a witness to him and I didn't do it. You know why? Because I was worried about Jerry Ross. I'm going to have to answer for some of that. Sure I am. I expect probably you will too. But folks, you know what? I don't want to answer for a lot of that. I want as best I can to step up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 5. Let's finish with this portion of Scripture. Mark chapter 5. Why should I tell others? I mean, what's the big deal? Why should we tell others that we're saved? Because if we're ashamed of our Savior, he will someday be ashamed of us. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 18. Here's a story. I'll just give you the tail end of this story. Here's the maniac of Gadara. He was saved. His life was transformed. And if you'll see then in Mark chapter 5, verse 18, it says, and when he had come into the ship, it's talking about Jesus, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him or asked him that he might be with him. Now watch this. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Why should we tell others that we're saved? Because in the sharing of our salvation testimony, we will lead other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, folks, it's criminal to be saved and not to share the fact that you're saved with others, because your salvation testimony will have a big impact on those around you, encouraging them to also come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm saved, Brother Jerry. Now what? Well, I'll tell you now what. Tell it. Tell it.